This is Dr. Hillary McLafferty. Welcome to Physician Thriving, a podcast exploring the modern physician experience with a focus on resilience and the skills needed to thrive in medicine. Let's jump into the second episode of Physician Wellness 360. As you'll recall, if you listened to the first episode, we concluded with a worksheet looking at what is well-being? How do you define? You can reach back into that episode and download the worksheet from the show notes if you didn't the first time. Why do we care about our own well-being? And one of the big factors is that we can directly link your sense of well-being to your resilience. And by that, again, I want to emphasize we mean healthy resilience, realistic resilience, not this unrealistic sense of go till you drop, but a very sustainable sense of resilience. And this will be our focus of the second episode, exploring emotional resilience, physical resilience, spiritual resilience in a way that's healthy for you. And when I am talking about resilience, I'm specifically using a definition, the ability to generate positive emotion and to recover from negative emotion. And we know that this is modifiable. The ability to bounce back can be taught, it can be measured, and it can be learned. One of the cautions that I've observed in this literature around physician well-being is that the term resilience can be a little bit, and has been, unfortunately, a little bit weaponized. And so I want to really be sure that you understand that the point of this discussion is not to say to you, oh, you should be more resilient. You're not resilient enough. Everybody around you is more resilient, can keep up this pace. What's wrong with you? No, that is 100% not what we're after here. This is really a focus on taking care of yourself and setting yourself up for a career or a next chapter in medicine that is healthy, enjoyable, and sustainable for you. And there are ways that you can look at your own resilience and what you're bringing to the table for yourself to help you be more successful, to feel better, to feel healthier. Now, when we get to the assessment part of the course, we will be looking at how resilience can be measured. One example is the brief resilience scale that's commonly used, and there's a scoring system, and we'll go through that in a worksheet. Basically, it helps you look at how you're doing with questions like, I tend to bounce back quickly after a hard time, and you can decide if you agree or strongly disagree or you feel neutral about that. Or, for example, I have a hard time making it through stressful events is another assessment question. It does not take me long to recover from a stressful event, and you can agree or disagree and so forth, and you'll get an average score that can help you understand just where you're starting. You know, where are you in the scale of resilience that's been well studied? Now, we know a lot about resilience, and it's actually very interesting research. When we look at common traits of resilient people, there are several things that stand out that you can bring into your personal life, into your work life. For example, common traits of resilient people include strong social connections. And this doesn't mean you need to have hundreds of friends, but it's looking at the strength of your connections. Another common trait is emotional awareness. Are you cued into what's going on around you on all the different nuances of the interpersonal connections? Another one is a strong sense of purpose. And very often, physicians start with a very strong sense of purpose. And over time, this can erode, or you can lose your way a little bit. And so that's something worth reflecting on. Openness to challenges is another common trait. Flexibility, openness to change. In this one, I want to invite you to think about the most recent upgrade in your electronic health record, for example. If you look around you or look to yourself, how did that go for you? Or maybe you changed electronic health record systems entirely. Maybe you moved from Epic to Cerner or Cerner to Epic. Or maybe there was a big upgrade and suddenly all the familiar touch points for you in your EHR had been moved or changed or lost. How did you cope with that? Or how did a partner cope with that? Was that the straw that broke the camel's back? Or were you able to say, you know what, this is a constantly changing system. This EHR, it's a fact of life, and we just have to roll with the punches and adapt and evolve as these upgrades come through. And think about how that landed with you. And maybe you're still carrying some frustration, or maybe you've learned to just get used to these changes. Another big, important common trait of resilient people that we'll talk a fair amount about as we move through the course material is an internal locus of control. That feeling of being grounded in yourself, knowing that the world is going to spin around you, the day is going to unfold, unexpected things are going to happen, and you maintain a feeling of centeredness, of groundedness. You control the things that you are able to and allow the rest of the elements of the day or the situation to be as they are, knowing that you don't have any control or influence, but that doesn't rock you off your center. Another common trait of resilient people is identifying as a survivor and not as a victim. I have certainly seen this in my patient population at different times when you might have two patients or two families who are working through a pretty similar difficult diagnosis, and you're looking at how, you know, what are the coping mechanisms that are being brought to the situation? And some people really take it on as a victim, completely out of control, feeling the suffering at every moment. Whereas I have seen other families and children who have assess the situation, who have accepted the facts of the situation and have taken a whole different tack, a whole different approach to the experience and move through from strength to strength with this feeling of not just surviving really, but almost of thriving through incredibly challenging situations. So that's been well studied and is identified as a trait very consistent with a healthy resiliency. Another trait is a refined set of problem-solving skills. Now, as a physician or a clinician, you are a good problem solver. You have to be to get through a day, to get through an hour. And so people who take on that mindset of sort of efficient problem solving and moving on to the next issue, again, seem to be more resilient than others who get bogged down in the decision tree, making these repeated decisions that we all need to make. Another common trait is the ability to set and reach reasonable goals, not pie in the sky, you know, overly ambitious or even impossible goals, but reasonable, achievable, enjoyable goals. That is associated with a higher resiliency state, as is the ability to ask for help when you need it, which a lot of people in healthcare, sort of high-performing physicians, definitely have a problem asking for help. And I think a lot of that is insecurity or shame, expectation of themselves that they should already know the answer. They're afraid to display any sort of gap or weakness in their knowledge. And that can be a real hindrance to your progress. So resilient people aren't afraid to ask for help and to acknowledge that they might not know everything, but they want to acquire the knowledge. Another important trait of resilient people is that they take good care of themselves, that they attend to their own health care needs. And a final trait that's been studied is a sense of optimism. And by that, I mean realistic optimism, not just sort of clueless optimism, but clear-eyed, open to challenges, sense of optimism, we will get through this. That is closely associated with increased resiliency. Now, the other point, and I want to touch on the internal locus of control a little bit more. When you think about what is in your control, we absolutely know that perceived stress, and this has been well studied, perceived stress is a significant factor in burnout. How do we think about perceived stress? I'll give you just a brief example. Let's say two people are waiting in line to go on a roller coaster ride. Person A is terrified. They hate roller coasters. They're there sort of grudgingly against their will due to an expectation of a family member. They are in a mindset already of fear, dread, and terror, basically. They get on the car. They strap themselves into the 5-point restraint. They go around the course, up, down, loop-de-loop, fast, slow, the big peaks and valleys of the roller coaster, screaming the whole time, expecting the worst. They come to the end. Much to their surprise, they are actually alive. They get off the car, and they've had the worst experience in recent memory. Person B has been waiting to go on this roller coaster, is delighted to be waited in line with a companion that they enjoy spending time with. They're anticipating a great time. They get on the same car, same restraint, go on the same course, up, down, sideways, peaks, valleys, fast, slow, laughing the whole way through, come to the end of the ride, get off the car, and they've had the best experience in recent memory. What a great time. What a great adventure. And so the element there of perceived stress is a very significant factor here. And you can imagine the stress response in anticipation of person A and the toll that that might have taken physiologically, even just waiting in line to get on the car. So it's been studied. And for example, in survey study of almost 800 medical students looking at self-care and quality of life and burnout. This showed that perceived stress accounted for 2/3% of variance in psychological quality of life, with a p-value of 0.001, less than actually 0.001. Perceived stress in this study of medical students significantly correlated, so higher perceived stress significantly correlated with poorer resilience and increased mental and physical health needs. And so that's just one study, and all the references and resources are listed in the actual course itself. I'm going to give you some high-level overviews of some of these studies. There's another paper that some of you may be familiar with. If every fifth physician is affected by burnout, what about the other four? Resilience Strategies of Experienced Physicians. And so this is a paper that looked at 200 physicians, approximately mid-career, so maybe 14 years in practice was the average in this study. And this is a study by Zwack et al., which you all may be familiar with. The takeaway message from this interview study, synthesis of interviews, was that there is a very important ability to invest personal resources in a way that initiates positive resource spirals in spite of stressful working conditions. So this idea, again, of perceived stress, this internal locus of control, this ability to move through challenges and really tap into your personal resources can help you build resilience. They go on to cite important building blocks. You know, how are these characteristics cultivated? And they identified useful attitudes, for example, acceptance, flexibility, self-awareness. So you'll start to see some common trends here. Another building block was gratitude. So deliberately cultivating a sense of gratitude in terms of relationships with colleagues, valuing your connection with patients, with family, and with friends. So consciously giving gratitude for what is existing in your life. And then a very deliberate sense of resilience building was another building block. Using self-reflection, taking time for oneself, practicing self-compassion, and cultivating spirituality, not necessarily a religious calling, but a sense of something greater than oneself. These were identified as building blocks in this survey of mid-career resilient physicians. Other associations with resilience, and this is particular to physicians. So this was published in JAMA. So resilience associations included a sense of humor. So again, keeping your sense of perspective, higher levels of intelligence. So we obviously know that you're intelligent, and I want you to take a minute and acknowledge your own intelligence and maybe offer some gratitude for that while you're at it. Attention to consistent exercise and nutrition, rest, play, relationships, and coping skills. So really taking time to take care of yourself has been identified, again, with resilience. The most powerful predictor for physicians is maintaining a caring connection with others. So it's a real caution, and you'll see this theme moving through the literature. And if you are doing this to yourself, just be aware of it. But avoiding isolation or avoiding self-isolating behavior will be very helpful to you. So maintaining caring connections with others is really protective for physicians. And that's, I think, really worth internalizing and taking a look at what your behaviors are right now, and are you cultivating healthy connections in your life? And if you're not, why not? And how can you move into a state even 10% more in the direction of reaching out or talking to somebody or making a connection that feels comfortable for you, even just a little bit, being aware of that in your day-to-day life. Another study, called Thriving in Scrubs, looked at how is resilience connected to thriving. And they also did a survey study, and this was in the OB literature. And some of the takeaways in this study were that resilience is rooted in a calling to medicine, that you do identify a purpose, a reason for doing this work, and you remember that and tap into that as something that brings you strength. It's also notable that they found that resilience is like a developmental phenomenon. It's like a muscle that you use and develop. You experience adversity. This catalyzes the acquisition of adaptive coping skills. And then you get more and more facile and more resilient over time in a healthy way. It's very doable to approach medicine like that. And again, keeping in touch with peers and mentors, patients and family in this study in the OB literature, again, was a really important stress buffer. So when you look around you now and you're thinking, you know, you may be feeling a little overwhelmed, this might seem like a little bit much to get through, and ask the question, you know, how will I even know where to start? Let's say you identify that you're not feeling as well or healthy or resilient as you'd like to. How will you know where to start? And so my suggestion is to say to you, first, let's figure out where you are. Where are you right now? And that will be the focus of our next episode as we start to dive into the assessment tools and understand in the pre-assessment approach, where are you? And wherever you are, it's fine. Everybody has the capacity to be healthier, to be happier, to move forward again, from strength to strength, and that's what we'll be exploring in our next episode. So, in the meantime, take good care of yourselves, and I will see you next time. Information on physician health and wellness, go to the website www.apim.org and click on the Physician Health and Wellbeing courses.